and so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about trusting in God, trusting God, trusting God will have it. See, here's the thing. You know, we tend to love to pick and choose what we give God, right? You know, it's like, okay, God, I'll give you some of this, I'll give you some of this, I'll take this to myself, and then I'll give you some of this to kind of get this. You know, it's kind of like a my nephew. I've been living with my brother and sister-in-law, and it was funny. I was watching my nephew Braden. He was trying to figure out what toy he wanted to give his little sister, and he was like, okay, well, I'll take these two trucks, and you can have this one truck, you know? And it was so funny. And I was thinking, man, don't we do that to God? You know, we kind of say, God, I'm going to take care of this because I feel like, you know, whether we mean to say this out loud or not, saying, God, I feel like I can have more control over this, or I could do a better job with this than you. Even though we don't say that out loud, we're subconsciously saying that. And that's why it's this idea. We have to give everything to God. In John, Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The only way you can remain in God is by giving everything to him. God's an all or nothing type of guy. So, you know, if you're not giving everything to him, you're not going to bear fruit. And finances is sadly one of the hardest things, especially in our culture, to give God. I mean, I'm poor, so it's a little easier for me to do it, you know, but, you know, for those who have, you know, more money, it's a lot harder, and it's harder for you, honestly. But trust me when I say that the more you invest in God, you're going to get a return that's farther than you could ever imagine. And it may not be a financial return, but it will definitely be a return that will make you happy. So while I was learning this lesson, I was actually learning a much, much harder lesson at the same time, which was this idea of never being afraid to ask for help. So after my second surgery, I don't think many of you guys knew about this, but it kind of messed me up in a weird way that no doctors can explain, my cardiologist can't explain, and no one can explain. But it happened. And basically, my heart rate after my second surgery increased by about 30%. And what that did was that put me in a constant state of mild to moderate fight or flight. And so what that means is I was always on edge. And I'm the type of person that hates asking people for help, so I hid it as long as I possibly could. Bad idea, by the way, you know? And what ended up happening is, for those who understand how that type of feeling works and how being on edge works, it's basically like being scared, you know, and that feeling, your adrenaline's pumping and all that. Think of that 24/7. That's basically what I was at. It may not have been at the peak of being scared, but it's like, you know, like 30 seconds afterwards where you kind of feel like it's okay, but it's not quite there. That's kind of where I was at. And when you're constantly like that, that's kind of what people who suffer with GAD, general anxiety disorder, that's kind of how they feel. And what happens when you're suffering with that and you're not seeking help, it can very easily start developing depression. And then depression will manifest itself into its own deal, and then you're going to deal with both simultaneously. Well, that's what happened to me. I didn't seek help because I thought, you know what? I work for a church. Why do I need help? All I got to do is pray and persevere. I'm a holy man, you know? And it was such a dumb thing to think, you know? And what ended up happening was I started getting worse and worse and worse. And my friendships started getting affected. In fact, it damaged some friendships completely. Like, one of them, I'm pretty sure, is never going to get repaired. Like, that's what happened. And it took 9 months for me to finally say, I got to do something about this. Well, actually, I was more tricked into it. Joe, as tactfully as he did, he was like, hey, you know, if you're going to, you know, go into counseling, you might want to see Scott and, you know, see, you know, like how counseling works. Maybe go into a couple counseling sessions. I'm like, okay, you know, that sounds like a horrible thing. As Joe's kind of rubbing his hands like, about time, you know? And so what ended up happening was I saw counseling and it helped a lot. I also called a doctor, and I saw a doctor for it, and now I'm on medication that kind of lowers my heart rate, so I'm no longer on edge. I'm actually a whole lot more at peace. And also, I got some medication for my depression because it got bad enough to where they were both separate issues. And so, I could have avoided so much of that if I would have just asked for help to begin with. You know, and really, why didn't I ask for help? It's totally a pride thing. Totally a pride thing. You know, it's like, and I think a lot of us suffer from this, is that we feel like that when it comes to things like car problems or something like that, well, then we'll ask for help for that. But when it comes to the heart, we always say, you know, I can get this. I don't want to trouble people with it. Trust me when I tell you that by you not telling your friends or your family that you need help, you're hurting them a whole lot more because they can see what's going on for you, because they know you well. You might think that you're hiding it, but you're not. And you're tearing them to bits by not telling them about the pain you are going through, because it's not much of a secret to anyone who's really close to you. So, yeah, there's a couple of great verses. Like, I could have gotten a whole lot more, but I just grabbed four. Psalms 36:11, let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. Which one is this one? Yeah, that's right. And then when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. And then Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. And then Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. This is kind of a more of a common verse that we see, especially in like children's books and all that, you know. And then a haughty spirit brings stumbling. Guys, if you don't get rid of your pride and actually just humble yourself and ask for help, you will destroy yourself, and it's not good. We love you too much. You may not feel like that people love you, but trust me, people love you, especially your staff here. You know, Pastor Scott, he's just a simple phone call away. Pastor Joe, simple phone call away. Pastor Danny, simple phone call away. Pastor Mike, simple phone call away. Well, when he's back from vacation, you know. And these guys are here for you to help you. And all you gotta do is ask. You actually have to take the steps to be healthier. When I started to seek, you know, help and get help, there's this passage that helped me a lot. It's Philippians 4:4-8. It says like this. I did this in the NIV because I kind of like the way it's worded, but of course you can read it in any translation you want. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything or any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Here's the thing, guys. When it comes to that, it's kind of like a roadmap. I was actually, I was sitting with my family. My parents were up from Nevada. And I was sitting with them and my brother and sister-in-law, and I was kind of focusing on the Philippians 4:6, which is, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, so on and so forth. One thing I do want to make a side note of, and just so you guys know, that word anxious is better translated as worry. Let me kind of give you the difference. So imagine you're a parent. Some of you guys are parents, so you don't have to imagine it. And you're sitting there and you're... not hearing your kids like you normally do. And so all of a sudden you get this, what are my kids doing? Then you go and check on them and you realize they're learning how to cut their own hair, you know? And, that is anxiety. And that can be super healthy. That's also known as fight or flight when it's actually working correctly, unlike mine. Even Jesus went through it when he was, you know, trying to figure out, God, is there anything else that I can do besides the cross? You know, he was sweating blood. I mean, it was a very intense situation for him. But his did not turn into worry. Worry is when you give into your anxieties. When you're sitting there and you're like, oh man, you know, what are my kids gonna do? Oh man, man, my kids are gonna be gone and I'm not gonna be with them. And so therefore, something bad could happen. Oh man, I just gotta worry about it. That's giving into your worry. That's what that word better translates into, is to give into your worry, to give into your anxiety. And you know, God doesn't want that for you. And really this roadmap, as I put it, so kind of going back to the story, I was talking, you know, to my family and all of that, and Christy, my sister-in-law, mentioned, well, you know, I kind of more look at this as a roadmap, and she kind of went back to verse 4, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, you know, so it's this idea of to be thankful. It's like, God, thank you for what I have. I'm just rejoicing in what I got here. Be thankful. Then the next one is be nice. Lay your gentle spirit be evident to all. This is this idea of, you know, when you're on edge or when you're worrying or when you all that, you tend to be a little, most people tend to be a little bit snappy, you know? And, you know, just remember, let your gentle spirit be evident to all. That means that the person that's sitting next to you, even though they might help aggravate your edginess, it's not their fault. And so let your gentle spirit be evident to all. Be nice to everyone around you. There's no reason not to. And then the next thing is God has your back. The Lord is near. Guys, no matter what you're going through, even when God doesn't feel like he's there, trust me, he is there. And he's probably taking more of that burden away from you than you even realize. He's there for you, and he got your back. The next one is give it all to him. That's the one, you know, being for nothing, you know, but give it all to God. That one is so important. That's where, so it's basically be thankful to get your mind right. Be nice, you know, let your gentle spirit be known to all. That's so you're kind of focusing on, okay, it's not really all about me, you know. And then, you know, God has your back. Okay, God, I know you're here. And then this part is give it all to him. That means, okay, God, what I'm dealing with, I'm just going to give it to you. What I'm worried about, I'm just going to give it to you. Then the next thing is focus on the good. And that's that, you know, that's the whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is good repute, et cetera, you know, think about or dwell on such things. Guys, this is a roadmap to be healthier. This is where you put things in perspective and you realize that God has it all. And the reality is that in order to really get help from people, to ask for help, you have to be able to humble yourself. Do these things and actually pick up the phone and call someone. Say, hey, I need help. And you have to be able to be willing to take these steps and not let it take over you. I remember the story where I used this like to a T. I was talking to a friend of mine whose daughter was having surgery, and well, I guess I wasn't talking to him yet. And I texted him and said, "Hey, I just remember that your daughter's having surgery, and." I just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you and I'm thinking about your family and all that. And he responded with three words, love you, brother. Now, for some reason, that triggered a memory in my head. And this is kind of when I was still dealing with my fight or flight. This is kind of before I got the medication to slow down my heart rate. It triggered this memory of someone giving me a hug at a funeral after his wife just passed away and said, love you, brother. And I'm like freaking out. I was like, wait, did she die? And he just didn't know how to say it. So he just said, love you, brother. And I just start freaking out for no reason. I jump on Facebook and I start looking for the little RIPs, you know, the rest in peace to see if like, any, you know, see if anyone made a post about it. And then I stop myself. I'm like, what am I doing? And then I just kind of sit back and I'm like, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for that I can breathe, kind of. You know, thank you that I can do, thank you that you're here. Thank you, you know, and I started thanking God for all these little things that are around me. Thank you, I can stand. Thank you, I have feet still. Thank you, my surgery didn't go bad, you know. And then I, you know, be nice. Let you just like, okay, Lord, just let me kind of focus on being good. Let me focus, get my mind kind of straight. You know, then, you know, God has my back. God, I know you're here, and I know that you're in control of this situation. I really have no idea what's going on. and then give it all to him. So I'm like, God, I'm going to give you this whole thing. I'm going to give you this whole situation, and I'm going to let you control it. And then I'm just going to focus on the good. And I'm just going to dwell on the positive things, the things that I know, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good repute, all those things, any excellence, anything worthy of praise. I'm going to dwell on those things. Guys, when it comes to that last one, that is so important. Guys, I challenge you, if you're a person that has your like Fox News, CNN, CBS, or any of those news channels on 24/7, turn them off. I'm sorry, our world is messed up. We all know that. You don't have to watch the news to know that, you know? Here's the thing, this is what I do. You guys can do whatever ever you want, but what I do is say, God, if there's something that I need to know about in the world, bring it to my attention. And then what I don't need to know about, then I don't need to know about it. Guys, the easiest way to start worrying about things is by watching the news, because the news tends to always show the worst in people, never shows the best. And God's always about showing the best in people. God uses broken people and all this stuff to show a good story, where a lot of the news shows really bad stories. And so that's my challenge for you, is turn off the news. It's not healthy. And so you know, that's kind of what I learned, this idea of moving forward, this idea of progressing forward to what God wants me to do. There's this card. Do I have one? I don't have it. Anyway, it's your next step card. So I want you guys to take it out of the front of your seat or the back of your seat, wherever you are, and just hold it up. I want to see them. I want to see them. Yes. Awesome. So let me tell you how these cards work, okay? So you guys fill out your name and, you know, all that good stuff, and the things that you check and the things you write down in, like, the prayer requests, they all get put in the offering. They all get put into our thing, and then the secretaries, actually, Karen, one of our secretaries, gets them all out, and then she hand types every single one of them. So penmanship is nice. And then what she does is she puts it in a document, and that document gets sent to all of your pastors. And then on Wednesday morning, we get together and we divvy up names of who's going to contact who, and then we pray for each and every one of you. That's what these cards are about. It's not just some gimmick, you know. We actually pray for each name. We make it a big point to do that. It takes us hours, and it's totally worth it. And guys, so I challenge you, especially if you've never filled out one of those before, fill it out. It is a way to connect with your church family and what's going on. And it's a way for you to humble yourself, especially if you're a person that's suffering with depression, anxiety, a loss of a loved one, or anything. This is a way for you to say, hey, help me. Don't let pride get in your way. It's just not worth it, guys. Trust me, from experience, it is not worth it. So the first one, pray for me as I commit to move forward. Maybe you are stuck. Maybe you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if I'm supposed to be, you know, I just feel like I should be doing something different, but I'm not. Check this box. We will pray for you. Move forward, guys. Don't get stuck doing your own work. How about start moving forward to do God's work? That's what this is about. Pray for me as I commit to move forward. The next one is, pray for me as I give control of my finances to God. This one's hard. I can definitely attest to that. But like I said before, if you give control of your finances to God, your return will be better than you could ever imagine. The next one is, I commit to ask others for help with my life struggles. Guys, don't let pride mess you up. Humility is everything. Ask for help. Pastor Scott sitting right there. You know, if you if you if you need help with stuff, talk to him. He will set up a counseling session. We have free counseling here, guys. Let's use it. Scott's like, oh, there goes my next 3 months. That's what this is about. This is why we're here. We're here to help each other. And the next one, I commit to something to be healthier. That can be anything. I commit to forgive my brother to be healthier. I commit to start eating healthy to be healthier. I need to make that one. I commit to ask someone for help to be healthier. I commit to do whatever. Write that in. I challenge you to write something in that you know that you need to either fix, get rid of, or whatever. And like I said, we all read all of these, and we do our best to connect with each and every one of you. And so if you write something down, we will gladly be your accountability partner if you want us to. Again, that's what we're here for. And maybe you want to respond now. Maybe it's this is something you're like, you know what? Like I do, like I am stuck. I'm not moving forward. And God's like saying, I need someone to pray for me. Guys, we are here for you. We got Pastor Joe, we got Pastor Scott, we got Pastor Danny back here. They're all ready to pray for you. All you gotta do is surrender your pride and trust in God and put yourself in a place of humility. That's all it takes. And again, use those cards, guys. Those are super awesome, super special, and it's been a huge blessing to be a part of it. And so we're gonna start playing this song, and it's called Come As You Are. So no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on, we're here for you, and we're here to pray for you. There's no pain that God can't cure, and so that's my challenge for you guys. I have a lot of challenges for you, is to be humble and come forward and give it all to God.